Let us pray. God of love, we come to you thankful for the miracle of Christ's resurrection and yet confessing our doubts and self-protection and the harm that we do in our fear. Heal the wounds of our fear, set us free from the armor of our fear, and redeem us from the habits of fear. Speak your word to us. We reach out for your hand. Come to us in the risen Christ. We are open. Amen. A reading from the books of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but gave everything they owned, was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The Word of Life. Please stand for the Psalter, number 788. God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. My soul is feasted as with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. A reading from the first letter of John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was God and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with God and with the only begotten Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news in John's Gospel in the 20th chapter. The evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together. The doors of the house where they were locked for fear of the people. And Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And he said again, peace be with you. The disciples were overjoyed to see Jesus. And then Jesus breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. As God has sent me, so I send you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called the twin, wasn't there when Jesus came. So they told him, we have seen Jesus. But he said, unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. The next week, they were all gathered together, and this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, and Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, look here, see my hands. Put your finger in those marks. Stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. Imagine that you live in a brutal totalitarian regime like North Korea or, say, Roman Palestine in the first century. And you're part of this small band of people who has been labeled by the government as being rebellious and under suspicion of insurrection. And they have come and the police have arrested your leader. And they've taken him off and tortured him to death in public. Imagine that you promised him that you would stay faithful to him no matter what, no matter what happened. And yet when the police came and arrested him, you ducked and ran. And when he was put on trial and they said all sorts of phony things about him, you were nowhere around to speak up for him. And when he was dragged out into the street, you were in hiding. And when they tortured him to death, you weren't there for him. Imagine the sorrow that you've lost your best friend and the terror because you know they're coming for whoever's next and the despair of what will happen and the guilt and the shame that you've let him down. Imagine all of that. And you get together with the other followers. And I bet it was pretty quiet in that room. The house is dark. The doors are locked. There's probably somebody standing at the door keeping watch. And in the middle of that, he comes back. Not just a vision, but real, in the flesh. You can see his scars. He's standing there. And he says, peace be with you. In all that sorrow and guilt and shame and despair and anguish, he comes back and says, peace. That's where the resurrection happens. Not in the flowery garden, but in the dark room, where we're afraid and guilty and feeling powerless. That's why Jesus says, Peace be with you. John, who wrote this story, is pretty invested that we understand that this is a bodily resurrection. That's not just a vision. This is Jesus in the flesh. You can see his scars. And John makes a big deal about his wounds. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side. Thomas wants to see those wounds. When Jesus appears a second time, he shows Thomas. He says, check it out. Because John wants to remind us that Jesus didn't just pass away. He was murdered. He was executed at the hands of the government. He was a victim of state-sponsored terrorism. And John wants to put that in our faces. He wants us to see the mark of the nails. They're not just nice little holes. They're places where his flesh was ripped on purpose in order to kill him, in order to string him up. That little wound in his side, it isn't just a nice little surgical slit. It's a stab wound. John wants us to see the mark of the nails. And he's pretty brutal about it. He keeps going over it. He wants us to see the place where the handcuffs chafed his wrists when he was arrested for driving while black. John wants us to see the burn marks of the rope where the woman was lynched. He wants us to see the mark of our injustice. Jesus didn't just die on his own. And here's the weird thing. Nobody killed Jesus. Everybody killed Jesus. John wants us to see the mark of the nails. He wants to see, he wants us to see the look of panic on the face of the children whose father just got deported. He wants us to see the pain that we cause others for our own benefit. He wants us to notice when you buy a shirt for 12 bucks. That it's only 12 bucks, and he wants us to wonder, who sewed that shirt? How much did they get paid? That's the mark of the nails. He wants us, when we eat that fruit, to wonder, who picked this fruit? What kind of pesticides did they breathe all day long just so I could have cheap fruit? That's the mark of the nails. I grew up in Montana, where there is a lot of logging. And you see these beautiful mountain hillsides and entire squares just cut out and shaved right down to the dirt where they've been clear cut so that we can have 2x4s and matchsticks and toilet paper. That's the mark of the nails. Butte, Montana is the home of the Berkeley Pit, the largest open pit mine in North America. There are bigger ones in Chile. A mile across, half a mile deep, where they for 50 years just drove those trucks in there and mined it for copper and silver and exposed all of the flesh of the earth and then quit and drove away and left this billion cubic foot hole in the ground to fill up with water that immediately reacts with all those chemicals and creates, essentially, battery acid. Flocks of migrating birds will land there for rest and die before morning. And it's been filling up for 30 years now. And scientists are just wondering what they're going to do when it overflows. No clue what to do. It will overflow and run into the Silver Bow Creek, which will flow into the Clark Fork River, which will flow into the Flathead, which will flow into the Columbia River, and they'll drink it in Portland. That's the mark of the nails. The ways that our injustice hurt people and wound the earth, and we get great benefit from them, and other people suffer the wounds, and we don't have to look. Downstream. It's not in my neighborhood. But John wants us to see the mark of the nails, to see the mark of the injustice that's perpetrated by systems that we participate in. And maybe he wants us to feel not only angry, but maybe ashamed, and maybe a little hopeless, and maybe a little guilty, because that's where resurrection happens. This isn't a guilt trip. This is resurrection. Resurrection happens in the context of war and oppression and racism and the destruction of the earth and destruction of neighborhoods and destruction of peoples. That's where resurrection happens. That's where God's power of love overwhelms the power of our evil and turns it around. That's where we are set free. That's the place where Jesus comes to us alive in the flesh and says, "Peace be with you." And transforms our anguish into faith. Don't doubt, but believe. Because Jesus' purpose in coming back isn't to make us feel better. It's to change our lives. The point of resurrection is not just our faith. It's the way we live in the world. That's why Jesus comes back, in order to say, "As God has sent me, so I send you." Jesus gives us his peace. That spirit that enabled him to suffer those wounds for the sake of this great thing he was doing, so that we have the courage and the faith to go out there and be willing to bring peace to the world that so badly needs it, to be able to bear healing to this hurting world. Jesus breathes his spirit into us. John's version of Pentecost. We receive the Holy Spirit so that we have the courage to be gentle in the face of other people's anger, to be nonviolent amidst the world's violence, to be generous in the face of the world's greed, and not be afraid, because Jesus has given us his peace. And to know that there is power in what we do. It might seem small, it might seem insignificant, it might seem like one little can of soup donated to a food bank, it might seem like one plastic bottle recycled, but in the spirit of resurrection, everything is changed. And we see ourselves belonging to this work that God is doing in the world, mending what is broken. God's judgment on our sin and our evil is not punishment. It's resurrection. It's this life-giving power that even death can't stop. So when we reach out our hands, like Thomas, to the risen Christ, it's not to make us feel better. It's to make us live better. That's why we come to this table week after week. We come to the table to see the marks of the nails, to see the brokenness. We come to be with all the people that Jesus comes with. I come to this table not just to be with Jesus, but to be with Curtis, my black friend on death row in Ohio. I come to be with all of those people who get dehumanized and ruined for our convenience. There they are, sitting around the table with Jesus, resurrected, full of that power. And we come to receive that bread and that cup. And that bread is handed to us in hands that are wounded. And when we receive that bread, we take that wound into ourselves, so that we can bear Christ's woundedness into the world, because we also take the life into ourselves. We take that Spirit of God into ourselves so that we can do that. That cup that we receive is the cup of God's suffering that gives us faith to suffer for the sake of love and justice. Unafraid. God's peace deep within us. That's what we bear out into that world. So that we who are sent just as God sent Jesus, we go out in Jesus' Spirit and bring to this hurting world the healing of God. We bring to this death-plagued world the miracle of resurrection. To this world that's so hurting, we come because we have absorbed that and are not afraid, because we've seen the mark of the nails. And not afraid even to receive them ourselves, we can walk out into the world and say with our whole lives, peace be with you. And the world has changed because Christ is risen. Will you pray with me? God, fill us with your Spirit. Breathe your peace into us, that we might not doubt, but believe, and bear your peace into this world. God, we thank you for the mystery, the miracle, the power of resurrection. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.